الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 8th of May in the year 2018 الحمد لله we spent a few sessions discussing the important subject of sacred knowledge and yesterday I mentioned the importance and the great value in sharing the knowledge that one acquires. Our beloved messenger mentioned it is the best of charity for you to acquire knowledge and to share it with your Muslim brother, as mentioned in Ibn Majah. And the last thing I mentioned was that one of the tricks of the shaitan is that when you have knowledge, he reasons with you so that you excuse yourself from sharing that knowledge. And I mentioned the report yesterday, which I'll mention briefly again, that there was a sheikh called Abu Anbas, and on three different jummah, when he got onto the pulpit, the first time he got onto the pulpit, he asked the people, "Do you know what I intend speaking to you about?" And the congregation said, "No." He responded, "Then what benefit is there for me in speaking to you then?" And he climbed down. The next Friday, he asked the same question, "Do you know what I intend speaking to you about?" This time they replied, "Yes," for they wanted him to speak. He responded, "Then what need is there for me to lecture you on something you already know?" On the third Friday, he asked the congregation the same question. This time, thankfully, some said they knew, some said they didn't. To which he replied, "In that case, those who know should inform those who do not." He thereupon stepped down once more. This is recorded by Hafiz ibn Abd al-Rabbih rahmatullah alayh in Al-Iqd al-Farid, volume 4, page 201. So what's the lesson from this? The lesson from this is one will always have an excuse in which to not perform this vital and priceless deed. Thus, do not let the shaitan deceive you. This is just excuses. So this is from the perspective of the da'i. In contrast, the student should also give the impression that they are eager and ready to learn, so as to encourage their teachers, such as one, to refrain from yawning and certainly dozing. Number two, to be attentive so the teacher need not repeat himself. One of the righteous predecessors, he said, rahmatullah alayh, Hafiz ibn Abd al-Barr rahmatullah alayh, in his Jami Bayan al-Ilm number 699, "The goodness of the one who understands well will not be able to rectify the badness of being a poor listener." The goodness of the one who understands well will not be able to rectify the badness of being a poor listener. Meaning, even if one is blessed to have a good comprehension, it is still a most glaring defect to be among those whose listening is poor. So note how the predecessors elaborated upon this. Number three, to focus on the teacher rather than others who may be fidgeting or other distractions. Number four, to never debate with him. In Ahmed, in his Al-Ilm, page 156, Urwa ibn Zubair, rahmatullah alayh, he looked debating with Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiyallahu anhu. Thus the latter would avoid him. On the other hand, Ubaydullah ibn Abdullah ibn Utbah, rahmatullah alayh, would ask him gently, and therefore he would generously teach the latter from his knowledge. So let's look at this. So Abdullah ibn Abbas, he was the ocean, the Jabbar al-Quran. Urwa ibn Zubair was his cousin, but he would debate with him. So Ibn Abbas would avoid him, meaning he didn't get the knowledge from Ibn Abbas. Ibn Abbas didn't want to debate. But another sheikh, Ubaydullah ibn Abdullah ibn Utbah, would ask him gently, and he would generously then teach him. Meaning that one of the ways to get the best out of the teacher is not to debate. If you debate, he'll just avoid you. Similarly, Ibn Juraj rahmatullah, they said, I did not extract knowledge from Atta except by being kind to him. This is recorded by Hafiz Ibn Abdul Barr rahmatullah in his Jami Bayan al-Ilm number 625. So Atta was a senior tabi'in, Mufti of Makkah. And Ibn Juraj said, I took knowledge from him by being kind to him. So this is all etiquettes. And note Allah Ta'ala's blessings in these etiquettes. If you want to get the full fruit, apply. If you don't, the loss is yours. Similarly, Hafiz Ibn Qayyim rahmatullah, in his Miftah Dar al-Sa'ad, the key to the blissful abode, page 249 to 50 of the English translation, he elucidates. Some of the pious predecessors, rahimahumullah, said, if you sit amongst the scholars, then be more keen to listen than to speak. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and he recited, Surah Qaf, Surah 50, verse 37, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. Inna fi dhalika la dhikra liman kana lahu qalbun aw alqa as-sam'a wa huwa shaheed. Therein verily is a reminder for him that has a heart or gives ear with full intelligence. Ibn Qayyim then said, rahmatullah alayh, deeply reflect upon the treasures of knowledge contained within this verse. By taking care to understand, many doors of knowledge and guidance will be opened up for the servant. Subhanallah. So let's look at this. So Hafiz Ibn Qayyim, he himself was a great scholar, rahmatullah alayh, he quotes the ulama in the past, and he said, if you sit amongst the scholars, get into a habit of listening rather than speaking. Isn't that true? You get an alim and you get a layman and he starts talking. How do you feel when the layman starts talking? It irritates you. Why? Because he's stopping the scholar. So he goes, get into a habit. You get a learned person, don't talk. That way you'll get benefit. Otherwise you're going to hear rubbish from the brothers. Then he said, Allah the Almighty and Glorious says, in the Quran, Surah 50, verse 37, therein is a reminder for him that has a heart or gives ear with full intelligence. Look how strange the verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna fi dhalika la dhikra. There is a reminder for him, liman kana lahu qalbun, who has a heart. But then what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Aw alqa sam'a wa huwa shaheed, or gives ear with full intelligence. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you are intelligent, your ear should be very attentive. Then Ibn Qayyim said, reflect deeply upon the treasures of knowledge in this holy verse. By taking care to understand, many doors of knowledge and guidance are opened up for the servant. Meaning you can open up doors of knowledge simply by not talking. Just be attentive. Right, and Allah will give you from his treasures. Ad-Daha commented upon this verse, rahmatullah, in Ibn Jarir and Ibn Kathir in their respective tafsirs. The Arabs would say that someone has given ear when he first hears with the ears, while secondly his heart is also present, not absent. That's the meaning of that phrase in the Quran. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, or gives ear, or alqa sam'a, according to Ad-Dahaq, the meaning here is he is listening and his heart is registering. So for instance, if you're listening and your heart isn't registering, you're not listening according to the Quran. Both those two things have to be in place. Indeed, when one gives the impression to others that he is listening intently when he is not, then this could fall under hypocritical humility. Khushu'un nifaq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserves. This is another danger. Some people give the impression. They're very alert. Outwardly. But they're not. Imam Bukhari was the opposite. Imam Bukhari, rahmatullah alayhi, he'd give the impression he wasn't listening. There was once an incident, famous incident, mentioned in Fathul Bari. And he was in a class of hundreds. And they were writing notes, the students. Imam Bukhari wasn't. And it looked like he wasn't even concentrating. So some of the students, they approached him afterwards because there's many other people who would look to attend this gathering. In other words, if you're not interested, why don't you give other people the opportunity? So So Imam Bukhari says, what did the teacher talk about today? So the person immediately starts getting his notes up. Imam Bukhari says, shall I tell you what's on your notes? And he related the whole talk of the Sheikh, every single hadith with the channel transmission. So now what was Imam Bukhari doing there? He next level. He was given the impression, so he didn't want people to think he was listening. He was protecting it even more. But for lesser mortals, giving ear means ear and heart has to be in place. Another thing they noticed about Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh, was that once somebody dropped some litter in the masjid, don't know what it was, and a man was observing, the man just left it. But then he goes, the same man was observing, he goes, a short while later I noticed Imam Bukhari. He picked it up when nobody was watching. And he threw it outside the masjid. And he goes, this is an Imam. Right? Why? Because he thought nobody was watching. He didn't give a monkey about people, right? He thought, I'm going to do it when nobody's watching me. He didn't realize somebody was catching caught on to him. So note, look at these amazing traits. That's why he's the Emir al-Mu'mineen of Hadith. Allah looks at the hearts. Look at the actions. In addition, note how irritating it is when amongst the learned, the ignorant can't stop blurting out, wasting precious airtime. To Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our complaint. Isn't that true? Especially question and answer session. You want to hear those tremendous questions, thinking, look, everybody's going to benefit. The talk was, mashallah, excellent. And what does the person start talking about? And he gets onto the mic. Doesn't even ask a question, starts giving bayan. Firstly, you know, he congratulates everybody. You know, why are you congratulating everybody? Just give a question. I would like to congratulate everybody who's attended. Why are you doing this? Are you going to start bayan now? And then he goes on and on and on, and the chairman lets him go on a bit. Then eventually he starts talking about everything under the sun. Chairman interjects, have you got a question? Because I'm getting to it. How does all the audience feel when he sees that man at the mic? You want to strangle him. Then you get another person, gets up, asks a very short question, to the point, that's it. And how do you feel after that? You think, that's the question I wanted to ask. And he asked it in a brilliant way. So note, this is what all of this is referring to. Meaning, don't waste people's time. Shaitan will disrupt the gathering by ignoramuses. Consider carefully the words of Mu'afi ibn Imran rahmatullah alayhi, who said, writing down one hadith is more beloved to me than standing for the night prayer. This is recorded by Hafiz ibn Abdul Barr rahmatullah alayhi in his Jami Bayan al-Ilm, page 15. Writing down the hadith, or one hadith, sorry, is more beloved to me than standing for the night prayer. Why did he say that? Meaning, he didn't want to lose anything. Because that is more beloved to me than offering the hadith, writing one hadith. Why? So when you go to a gathering, how much have you retained? Just test yourself. After today, what did he go through? What did Brother Yusuf go through? How much can you retain? Right? The person who's trying to trap it retains more. Because that's more beloved to me than the hadith. Why? Because I've trapped it. I've trapped the knowledge. Indeed, traveling to acquire sacred knowledge is also a great deed pleasing to our loving Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is it important to travel? Yes. Hafiz ibn Rajab al-Hanbali rahmatullah alayhi, he said in his Warathatul Anbiya, Sharh Hadith Abi Darda, radiyallahu, Inheritance of the Prophets, page 21 of the English translation. If anyone ever was not in need to travel in order to seek knowledge, then that would have been Musa when he traveled to Khidr. Alayhi salatu wasalam. If anyone ever was not in need to travel in order to seek knowledge, then that would have been Musa, alayhi salatu wasalam, when he traveled to Khidr, alayhi salatu wasalam. So what do we know? The Quran. Allah says, Musa, alayhi salatu wasalam, went to meet Khidr. Question. He's Rasulullah. What does he need to go and acquire knowledge for? Right? The answer is, Allah is telling you, no matter what condition you're in, this is something that Allah Ta'ala loves when you travel to acquire knowledge. Hafiz ibn Qayyim in his Miftah Dar al-Sa'adah, the key to the blissful abode, page 231 of the English translation, he elucidated. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam traveled a great distance so that another learned man alayhi salatu wasalam could teach him what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught him. Although the supremely merciful subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and he was the most honorable of humanity in his sight during his time, I am the most knowledgeable. His avidity and insatiable preoccupation with knowledge led him to travel to another learned man. Had it not been for the fact that knowledge is the most eminent thing that one's soul should strive for, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam would then have preferred to remain to take care of the needs of his ummah and avoid the hardship and fatigue associated with the journey. Yet this noble prophet alayhi salatu wasalam knew the value of knowledge and its possessors. So look at this beautiful elucidation. So Hafiz ibn Qayyim rahmatullah alayhi said, why did he do it? If anybody doesn't need to learn, it's the one who's getting direct knowledge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Well, guess what? Rasulullah traveled. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Why did he travel? Because the act itself is most dear to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether you acquire anything or not, when you're searching for knowledge, Allah ta'ala loves that. So he was going through hardships and he preferred that over all what he could do with his ummah. Think about that. What was he doing? Teaching his ummah, educating them, guiding them. He preferred going out to acquire knowledge more than all that. In fact, there's a report in Tabari in his tafsir where when Khidr saw him, alayhi salatu wasalam, he goes, have you left your nation to be with me? So Khidr was quite surprised. Meaning, are you the same Musa who was sent to the Bani Israel? And you come to me, you left, and then he said yes. Think about that. So, question, are we Musa? You must be on cloud cuckoo land, man. So why are you learning? Because, I think I know. Then you go in there. Who are you compared to Musa? So what's your excuse? And the answer is, there's no excuse for not acquiring knowledge. Oh, I'm really busy. Wasn't Musa busy? Think about that, right? So what's your excuse? So no, that's why it's in the Quran. People just read Quran and think for blessings. Ramadan's coming, let's start doing khatam again. Right? Why does Allah Ta'ala mention that in the Quran? There's another reason he did this. One should not find this strange in the least, because there's a famous hadith. In Ibn Hibban in his Sahih, number 6217, Shaykh Al-Bani Rahmatullah alayhi says, Hassan in As-Sahihah, number 3350, Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu, he narrated Abu Bakr Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam asked, who is the most knowledgeable of your servants, O my Lord? Subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the most knowledgeable? Allah the Almighty and Glorious replied, a scholar who is never satiated with knowledge. He is always adding the knowledge of others to his. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam asked, who is the poorest of your servants, O my Lord? Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah the Almighty and Glorious replied, the one who is deprived, I, of knowledge and thus his religion. So, there you go. Is that a coincidence? What did Musa alayhi salatu wasalam ask in this authentic report? He goes, O my Lord, who is the most knowledgeable of your servants? Allah has given the qualification now. Who is the most knowledgeable? He goes, this is the sign of the most knowledgeable of my servants. He's a scholar, meaning he's already learned. But it doesn't stop him. In fact, he can't get enough of learning more. Because he is the most knowledgeable of my servants. Then he asked, who is the poorest? The one who's deprived. Meaning, I haven't got time. I'm busy. Right? I know it all. Right? You know, people, some very strange statements people make. They talk as if they know everything. I know, brother, I know. No, what do you know, brother? You know, if he was honest, I don't know anything. But the fact he compounds it with, I know. This is why one of the tabi'in, rahmatullah, they said two types of people will never learn. This is in Fath al-Bari. One is the proud, the other is the shy. They'll never learn anything. The proud is, he's never going to learn anything, I know everything. And the shy, you can't ask. So note these two things. And now think about this. This is a hadith. You get the impression that Musa is just asking, alayhi salatu wasalam, like we're doing it, just ask all those questions. When he asked that question, who is the most knowledgeable? What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? The one who's a scholar and he's never satisfied with learning. Oh, so what happened? Immediately, Musa, what does he do? Soon as he gets the first opportunity, he's out learning. I'm up to see Khidr. Because Allah Ta'ala, look, this is the most knowledgeable servant. And the most foolish fruitcake. Not doesn't learn about his deen. And the other tragedy is, they aren't stupid people. You know, people who don't learn their deen, you think, oh, these people are sinful. They're not. They're doctors. Think about that. Doctor doesn't have to do ghusl. Tell you everything about your body. Can you do ghusl? What's ghusl? The guy's a lawyer. Knows about all the qanoons of the dunya. What about the qanoon of the akhirah? Nothing. Imagine, so they've got brains, but they don't value knowledge. Meaning they're the most foolish, ignorant people. It was due to this that we have the amazing narratives of our pious predecessors traveling the world over to acquire knowledge. Give you one example. In Abu Nu'aym al-Hilya 2-95, it mentions, once Masruq Tabi'in rahmatullah, he left Kufa. He went to Basra to ask a man about one verse of the Qur'an. He thereupon found that the man did not have knowledge of that verse. But he was informed about another man living in Syria who could explain the verse. Thus he returned to Kufa, he then left for Syria to that very man in search of the knowledge of that one verse. Let's look at this. How many miles has he traveled for one verse? From Basra to Kufa, is hundreds of miles. It's one city to another city in Iraq. A couple of hundred miles. He doesn't get the knowledge. In fact, the man hasn't got knowledge of the verse. Does he then think, Ya Allah, I tried? The man then said, oh, somebody in Syria knows the meaning of the verse. He goes back home first, maybe to tell his family. He goes straight to Syria. So a person goes, why is he making all the effort? There's so many ulama around. Why don't you just stay where he is and eventually the knowledge will come to him? Because you don't know, he knows. Why do you think you're clever? These people are very intelligent. But why were they so eager to leave their homes? Because when you travel, Allah Ta'ala loves this. In a famous report, it mentions in Abu Dawood number 3641, Tirmidhi number 2682, Ibn Majah number 223, Ahmad in his Musnad 5-196. Shaykh al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi states Sahih in Sahih al-Jami number 6297. Abu Darda, radiallahu, in a letter Abu Rubin Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever treads a path in search of knowledge, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes easy a path for him towards paradise. Whoever treads a path in search of knowledge, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes easy a path for him towards paradise. So let's think about this. Yes, there's hardships when you travel. The Prophet said travel is torture. Imam Malik's Muwatta. But what is that hardship when that journey makes the journey to paradise easy? I'd rather go through a hardship in this world, a worldly journey, to make the path to paradise easy. So what the Prophet was telling you is, the harder more you travel, the easier the path to Jannah becomes for you. Meaning, and you get people, they're so infatuated by knowledge, they die learning. Imam Muslim, rahmatullah alayh, he was going through hadiths, and he didn't realize what he was doing. He was going through a hadith and he was eating dates. And then what happened? He choked on a date. He didn't realize he was eating too quick. He was so lost in his knowledge. And he died young, Imam Muslim, rahmatullah alayh. Think about that. So note, people, when you acquire, you search for knowledge, Allah Ta'ala is making the path to paradise easy. Flip the coin. If you got no desire for knowledge, what then is made easy for you? The path to hell. Think about that. If you have no desire to acquire sacred knowledge, the path to hell becomes easy. Think about that. Isn't that true? The path to paradise becomes easy when you are acquiring sacred knowledge for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The path to hell becomes easy when you abandon it. It is no wonder our beloved messenger went on to say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wisdom is most earnestly sought by the believer. This is recorded by Hafiz al-Ajluni, rahmatullah alayhi, in his Kashaf al-Khafa, 1-435. Wisdom is most earnestly sought by the believer. Now, why is that an interesting narration? Because the Prophet described that person as a believer. Meaning he's got a strong iman. They can call him a Muslim. He goes, the one who's eager to acquire knowledge, he's a believer. So you can gauge your iman by how eager you are to acquire knowledge. And then you compare yourself to the past, you're thinking, I'm munafiq. That's, you know, the simple answer. But then you think, look, I can't go back to those days. They were noble men and women. Now you think, and then you realize, because everybody's that weak, I'm decent. The answer is, no, you're not decent. People are so low, you look decent. Right? And this also is why Imam Shafi'i said his famous words, rahmatullah, knowledge is sought from the cradle to the grave. Knowledge is sought from the cradle to the grave. What's one of the lies that sadly many people have memorized? Famous lie. Too much knowledge is dangerous. Have you heard this? Look how interesting. You know, fabricated report, people memorize. Brother, be careful. Why? When I'm going to nightclub, it doesn't stop me. Right? When I'm going to pub, it doesn't stop me. I'm going to the sacred event. Brother, be careful. Brother, why are you stopping from pub? Why are you stopping from? You're stopping from going to the circle of knowledge. Too much knowledge is dangerous. MashaAllah. Ikhwan al-shayateen. Think about that. When you're committing a blatant sin, it doesn't stop you. When you want to learn about your deen, he's not flying in the hell out of you. If that is not the job of shaitan, then I don't know what is. What is the job of shaitan? Astaghfirullah. Indeed, the scholars, it is because of this that their rank is immense. In Tirmidhi, number 2682, Ahmad in his Musnad 5-192, Mishkat, Sayyidina Mu'adh and Abu Darda, they both relate that the Prophet said, the superiority of the scholar over the worshipper is just like the superiority of the full moon over the rest of the planets. Mm. The wording is interesting. The superiority of the scholar over the worshipper, alim over the abid, is just like the superiority of the full moon over the rest of the planets. So we comment. Hafiz ibn Rajab al-Hanbali rahmatullah alayhi had clarified in his Warathatul Anbiya Sharh Hadith Abi Darda radiyallahu anhu, Inheritance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, page 66-8 of the English translation. He clarifies. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, over all the planets. He did not say over all the stars. For planets are not used for guidance. So they are on the same level as the worshipper, whose benefit is limited only to himself. As for the stars, then they are used for guidance, as in the statement of the Most Exalted in Surah An-Nahl, Surah 16, verse 16. Audhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. وَبِالنَّجْمِهُمْ يَحْتَدُونَ. And by the stars, men guide themselves. And He subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Surah Al-An'am, Surah 6, verse 97. أَوْلِي بِاللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَهُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمْ النُّجُومَ لِتَحْتَدُوا بِهَا فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ. And it is He who placed you the stars, so that you might be guided by them through the midst of the deep darkness of the land and sea. Then the Shaykh said, it has also been suggested that the moon receives its light from the sun, in the same way the scholars have taken their light from the light of the divine message. For this reason also the two have been compared. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the shining bright light and an illuminating moon cast upon the earth. The scholars are his inheritance and successors, likened to the moon when it is at its complete brightness and full radiance. So look at this amazing clarification. You got the hadith, which people hear is quite a famous hadith. Have you got the commentary on it? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the superiority of the scholar over the worshipper is just like the superiority of the full moon over the rest of the planets. So the scholar is the full moon. The worshipper are these planets. So a person looks at things. Well, planets are bigger, you know, you start thinking of astronomy. What did the scholars say? The first thing that Ibn Rajab pointed out is that the Prophet did not say the superiority of the full moon over the rest of the stars. Why? Because planets are not used for guidance. What is used for guidance? Stars. Therefore the wording is critical. The planet only benefits itself. So there's a huge difference. Then he quotes the verses proving that the stars are what people use for guidance. Then he gives another meaning. The moon, where does it receive its light from? The sun. The same way the scholars take the light from the Messenger of Allah. Planets don't. Right? Meaning there's a link with Nabuwwat. And then thirdly, the Prophet was the shining bright light, illuminating moon cast upon the earth. The inheritors are the scholars. Ulama warithatul anbiya. So note how the Prophet was highlighting how great knowledge is over worship. Knowledge is the precursor to worship. Without it, worship is redundant. But this is the tragedy. People haven't got the eagerness. The reason is because they don't realize the value of knowledge. If I was to go to a toddler and I showed him a diamond ring and I showed him a chocolate bar, which one would he take? Right? He'll chocolate. He won't even look at the diamond ring. Is it his fault? It's not his fault. He doesn't know the value of the diamond. So you go to the person, brother, take with knowledge or money. He goes straight towards money because he's a spiritual child. He doesn't realize what he's losing out on. And the amazing thing is, as soon as you die, not a second longer, money leaves you. It's the quickest thing to leave you. Your family is the second, and your deeds never leave you. Think about that. So this is why it's important to understand the value of knowledge. That's why the ulama wrote books on knowledge. To explain. But tragedy, we need to learn all these basics again. This theme is elaborated upon the following famous hadith. To finish. In Sahih Bukhari, number 3327. Sahih Muslim, number 2834. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, indeed the first group of people that will enter paradise will resemble the full moon. And then those who follow them will be like bright planets in the sky. So where is this recorded? Bukhari and Muslims. So who are the first to enter paradise? Because the Prophet goes, they look like full moons. Who follows them? Planets. Hafiz ibn Rajab al-Hanbali rahmatullah alayhi clarified in his Warathatul Anbiya Sharh Hadith Abi Darda, Inheritance of the Prophets, page 68 of the English translation. It is not far-fetched to imagine, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, that the scholars will be from the first group, as they were in the world like a full bright moon to the people of the earth. They then may be joined by the most devout and prominent worshippers, due to the fact people who heard about them benefited from their accounts. Their hearts were moved, awakening from their slumber when they were mentioned, and they wanted to follow them, i.e., you will be with those whom you love. As for the second group, then they are the normal worshippers. So the hadith says, full moon. Who are these full moon? The Prophet didn't explain. The ulama said, it has to be the ulama. Because the hadith said, they're like the full moon. Who enters paradise first? According to the hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, the ulama. Then the shaykh said, followed by the prominent worshippers. Think about that. Why? Because the prominent worshippers, though they don't have that much knowledge, people are moved by them. For example, you see a person and he's very strong in his salat, but he's never really given you a talk, but you are just moved by his commitment to salat. Because that is why they follow the scholars, because of the people looking at these people. And don't forget, these people who worship love the scholars. Therefore they follow them. You will be with those whom you love. And then the second group, because they're the normal worshippers, they go in later. So Allah Ta'ala honors this right into Jannah. And even in Jannah, the scholars are honored. Why? The hadith mentions that the people will turn to the scholars in paradise. What should we ask our Lord? And then the scholars say, O Lord, please be pleased with us. Never be discontent with us. Even in Jannah. Imagine somebody goes in Jannah, everything is at your disposal. You still need scholars. He goes, brother, you need to have fatwa in paradise. No, not fatwa, but you still need them. They're there for you still. Right? And note Allah's honor of these people. So note, it is natural that they be honored above others. But how did they become scholars? By watching EastEnders and Coronation Street. Right? By sacrificing. But not forgetting that through the sacrifice, Allah Ta'ala elevates. So we as laymen should at least have a desire, make a regular dua to Almighty Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, that He gives you eagerness to acquire knowledge. People are so arrogant because, oh no, 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 you should humbly ask, Ya Allah, give me that eagerness. Make me appreciate what knowledge is, because I understand what money is. Everybody knows that. You don't need to go on a course to know what money is. People get 2-3 jobs. But when it comes to knowledge, we haven't got that understanding. And knowledge is much more important. The Prophet said, the prophets do not leave behind dinars or dirhams. They leave behind knowledge. And whoever acquires it, acquires a great goodness. They don't leave behind pounds, dollars, dinars, dirhams. They leave behind knowledge. Then what did the Prophet say? Whoever acquires that, their knowledge, they have acquired the great goodness. So always be eager for this. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this by great kindness and mercy. So all I mentioned today was basically now talking again about sacred knowledge. We're talking now more about the value of sacred knowledge and the importance of striving to acquire it. Are there any questions you like to ask? سبحان ربي الحمد لله اللهم بحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك وارجو الله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل ان الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وسبحان الله وبحمده سبحان الله